And I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get a glass of water. And suddenly I was pulled out of my body, like being drawn up out of your body. And I found myself falling through the air down this long tunnel. And it was getting hotter and hotter and darker and darker. And then I entered this open cavern-like area, and I landed in an actual prison cell, rough-hewn stone walls, bars.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Some things, we don't like to think about it. In fact, we avoid it. For example, what is hell? Is hell a real place? Where is hell? Am I going to hell? Can I avoid going to hell? These are questions and fears that actually regulate much of our lives and what we do and how we think. On the next two programs, we have a guest that one night he was just Cadillacing along, gets out of bed, and he falls into hell. His name is Bill Weiss. He was terrified by what he saw. Now, as he's telling this experience, I have many questions about hell. And I'm sure you that are listening today, you are going to have these questions too. Here he is, my friend. Let us welcome Bill Weiss. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. Honor to be on your show.
Tell us about this vision.
Yeah, the honor. Well, first of all, this was not a near-death experience that I had. This was an out-of-body experience that would be classified as a vision. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul, when he was caught up into heaven in a vision, he said whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord showed me that I left my body. So to explain a little bit about a vision, you can actually travel in a vision, like Paul and John actually traveled to heaven in their spirit bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:44 talks about a natural body and a spirit body. And so you can actually go to that place like they did. Ezekiel, he was picked up by his hair and carried from Babylon to Jerusalem in a vision. And he was told to eat. He experienced the sweetness of the food in his stomach. He wept. He conversed. So my point is, in your spirit body, you can experience the same things that you could in your physical body.
All the senses you had.
Right. All the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it can all be the same. So just trying to give you a scriptural basis of how this can occur for a Christian. The only way a Christian, which I was at that point for 28 years, the only way a Christian can see hell is in a dream or a vision. And Job 7:14 says, "You scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions." So you can have a terrifying vision. Now, Isaiah 21:2, he was given a grievous vision. So you can have a grievous, terrifying, or bone-shaking vision, as Job 4:14 had. So this is not to compare my experience to any of the great men of the Bible. I'm just trying to give a scriptural basis of how this can occur. I never had a vision before. I was a Christian for a long time, serving in the church. We came home from a prayer meeting. My wife and I went to bed like any other normal night. And I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get a glass of water. And suddenly I was pulled out of my body, like being drawn up out of your body. And I found myself falling through the air down this long tunnel. And it was getting hotter and hotter and darker and darker. And then I entered this open cavern-like area, and I landed in an actual prison cell, rough-hewn stone walls, bars, a filthy, stinking, dirty prison, but more like a dungeon. And that's where I first found myself. I was fully awake and cognizant. I was not dreaming. I thought, how did I get here? Why am I here? This is bizarre. And Jim, it was just as real as me talking to you, standing here to see this place. And I had no idea how I got there or why I was there at this point. But the first thing I noticed was the intense heat. It was so far beyond the ability to sustain life. I wondered, how could I be alive in this place?
Heat beyond what the human existence, everything would burn up.
Right, you'd burn up there. And there's scripture for everything I'm telling people, but we don't have the time to give them all now. I do give them in my books, but that's what's important for people to believe, not my experience. I'm not here to convince anyone to believe my experience. I'm just a signpost to point them to the scriptures, and by those be persuaded so you can avoid this horrible place called hell, because it really does exist, just like Jesus talked about. Jesus mentioned it in 46 different verses. And so it's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of love, because it's a message of warning. There really is a place called hell. But anyway, that, and like I said, I'm a conservative person. I've never had a vision before. I've never gone to dark movies. I've never drank. I've never taken drugs. It was not a result of any of that. It just was because a lot of people and churches are not talking about the truth about hell. And so the Lord wanted me to point people to the scriptures.
Okay, Bill. You're saying that churches are not teaching about hell. Huh.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's very few that really talk about hell. They don't want to offend anyone, so they try to be inclusive of everyone and not push anyone away by talking about something as horrible as hell, but just, you know, preach uplifting messages, which are good. But yet you need to also let people know what lies ahead if you deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There really is a hell, just like the Bible talks about. And there's over 250 verses that talk about hell and destruction in the Bible. And but just to get back a little bit to what I saw so that people can understand, their scripture, like I said, for prison cells, that's where I first found myself, face down on the floor in this dungeon. And I wanted to get up and run. But I noticed, Jim, that I had no strength in my body, completely void of any kind of physical strength. But, you know, Isaiah 14, 9 and 10 says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become weak as we? And Psalms 88, 4 says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength. You're completely void of physical strength. And then I looked up, and then there were these demons in the cell, demonic creatures that were pacing like a vicious caged animal in this prison cell, and they were blaspheming and cursing God. They had an extreme hatred for God. Then they directed that hatred towards me. The one picked me up, threw me into the wall of this prison cell. I collapsed on the floor. I felt like I should have been killed from that blow. The one dug its claws into my chest, tore the flesh open. It just hung like ribbons. I couldn't believe, how could I be alive? I should be dead. Now, I have to explain one thing, Jim, quickly. I felt pain, but I understood most of it was being blocked. I didn't understand then, but the Lord blocked most of the pain, but he did allow me to feel a small amount of it so I could relate to people. It's not metaphorical. It's not a state of the mind. It's real literal pain you're going to feel in hell. Thank God he blocked most of it, but the amount I felt was enough. And I noticed I had a body. Matthew 10:28 says, fear him who was able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Luke 16, the rich man Jesus talked about, he had eyes to lift, he had a mouth to speak, he wanted a drop of water to cool his tongue. And so you have a body, but it withstands these torments. I noticed there was no blood or water coming from the wounds. It was just all dry. But Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, there's no life in hell, so there's no blood. And there's no water, not one drop of water, like Luke 16, the rich man wanted, and Zechariah 9:11, and some other verses point out. And they have no mercy over you whatsoever, an extreme hatred for you. Well, about this time it went dark. I believed it was God's presence there to illuminate it, but then he withdrew his light, and it resumed its normal state of absolute pitch black darkness. But Lamentations 3:6 says, he has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. And Jesus said in Matthew 25:30, you'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's so dark, Jim, you cannot see the hand in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worse than that. You could even feel the darkness. Exodus 10:21 mentions a darkness that may be felt. So it's not an exaggeration. It just seems to penetrate through every cell in your body, this piercing evil darkness that surrounds you in hell. I was taken out of this prison cell, placed over next to this large raging pit of fire. This pit was about a mile across with flames raging high up in this open cavern. Now I could only see along the edges and through the flames. The light in hell does not travel. You could see through it, and I could see thousands of people inside this pit burning. And it's the most awful sight, Jim, to see a person on fire. They look like skeletons with flesh hanging off their bones. They were screaming. It was so loud. I'll never forget the screams and the sound that you want to get away from it, because when you're hearing millions of people screaming, it's deafening. And, Isaiah 57:21 says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." No peace of mind. And Isaiah 32:18 says, "My people dwell in a quiet resting place." Well, you're not his people, so you don't derive the benefit of quiet in hell. And there were demons shoving people back in, people trying to claw their way out of this big pit. But they had no physical strength to do it anyway. But the demons have great strength, and you have none. They're shoving people back in. The stench is the most foul, putrid, disgusting odor. The smell of burning sulfur and the rotting flesh and the smell of demons. You know, Mark 9:25, Jesus rebuked the foul spirits. They have a disgusting odor to them. And sulfur, you know, if you go to Hawaii to the volcano, they have signs posted where you cannot go past a certain point because the toxicity of the burning sulfur coming up, it's called sulfur dioxide. Well, sulfur is just another word for brimstone. And the word brimstone is all through the Bible. So you're breathing in this foul, putrid, disgusting air. But it's a step worse than that. There's not enough air to breathe in hell. You have to fight for the tiniest bit of oxygen, and maybe only an asthma patient or a fireman could relate to this, but I'll have to try to demonstrate to you over the
air.
Would
you do that?
This is how you breathe in hell. It was like... that was as much air as you could get, which was not enough. You felt like you're going to suffocate any moment. But that's how you go on for all eternity, trying to get air, and you can't get enough. But Isaiah 42:5 says, "The Lord gives breath to the people upon the earth." You're not upon the earth. You're down deep beneath the earth. And that's something else I understood. I understood I had descended to get there. I ascended when I left. But I understood I was down deep in the earth. But there's 49 scriptures to talk about where the current hell is located. We'll get to that. But I understood I was down deep in the earth. And I understood, Jim, there were different levels of torment and degrees of punishment. I had that understanding. But there is no tolerable, comfortable level. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 23:14, "You shall receive the greater damnation." That infers a lesser damnation. Or Matthew 10:15, he said, "It shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city," inferring there's a less tolerable. Or Hebrews 10:28 says, "Of how much worse of a punishment, suppose ye shall you receive." There's a worse punishment, but the point is there is no comfortable, tolerable level in hell. Any level is far worse than your mind can even imagine. I want to talk to a person, but you're denied that. You're kept at a distance from people, even though those people are in the pit, they're all kept at a distance, so you never have a conversation again. No conversation with anyone. You're just isolated and alone. And you have your full memory. I thought about my wife up on the earth and that she'll never know that I still exist and that I'm deep down here in hell. She'll never know that. And to not say goodbye to your loved ones and to your wife and have no finality. You don't realize what a tormenting thought that is when you can't say goodbye. Because Job 7:9 says, "He that goes down to Sheol shall come up no more." Sheol is the Hebrew word for the current hell, or Hades is the Greek word. But you understand you're not going to get out, and you'll never have any finality with your family. And you need to rest in hell. You need sleep. Just like here, we need sleep. You never get to go to sleep in hell. So you're kept awake. Can you imagine? You've stayed up for maybe 2 nights. After 2 nights, you can't even function anymore if you don't get to sleep. Well, in hell, you need sleep also, but you never get to sleep. But Revelation 14:10-11 says, "And they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Lamb and in the presence of the holy angels. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." But see, Isaiah 57:20 says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest." You know, the sea is always moving, can't rest. Well, you can't rest either. But see, rest is a blessing from God. Because Psalms 127:2 said, "The Lord gives his beloved sleep." You're not his beloved, so you never get to go to sleep in hell. You have no purpose, no destiny. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "There's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in Sheol." It's just a useless wasting away. The fear that you experience in hell is so far, most people have experienced some kind of fear in their life. But the fear in hell is way beyond anything on this earth. And I know something about fear. I was attacked by a tiger shark, 10-foot tiger shark, bit my surfboard in half when I was a teenager, and grabbed my leg and pulled me down under the water. And you can imagine the fear that I felt at that moment. There's not much more terrifying than that. But that fear that I felt at that moment paled in comparison to what you feel in hell. And this fear is for all eternity. You know, Jim, and the worst thing about hell is you understand you're not going to get out. It's the hopelessness. See, in life, we always have hope. Even if your situation is so dire, you're in agony, you know you can die to get out of the pain. But in hell, you understand you can't get out of the pain for all eternity. Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, they have no hope for him because it's too late. And to grasp with your mind that you'll never, ever escape this horrible place, that is the most tormenting thought, part of hell. And so it's a place people want to avoid at all costs. And there's more to tell about this situation, but, you know, again, Jim, it's not important for people to believe me. I just really want them to check out what the Scripture has to say. The Bible's full of verses about hell, and Jesus warned us about hell. He's a loving God. He's trying to keep people out of hell. And that's what's important for them to know, that hell's real.
Bill, in your previous broadcasts that we've had with you, you were very descriptive of the scenes in hell and the demons in hell. Could you tell us more about that? Repeat what you've said before, okay?
All right. Yeah, the demons that were in the cell that I was placed in, one was reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over his body, huge jaw, sunken in eyes, claws actually about a foot long. And these particular two were about 12 or 13 feet tall. That's not an exaggeration. There's even scripture for that. But the most vicious, grotesque-looking creatures you can imagine. The other one was had like, it looked almost like he had metal on his body. Hard to describe, but a really grotesque creature with claws again and wickedness about them, pacing like a vicious caged animal. They're enjoying wanting to tear me to pieces. They seem to have a pleasure in wanting to do that. And you can't defend against them. They have tremendous strength. And you remember in Mark 5:4 when Jesus cast out a demon out of the demoniac, and it said men tried to bind him with chains, and he would break the chains into pieces. Well, that's because he was demon-possessed.
Tremendous strength, beyond human.
Right, right. And you don't have any, so you really feel defenseless. You can't defend yourself. And they're really disgusting creatures. Some were only 2 and 3 feet tall. Some were much larger. There were snakes and maggots crawling all over everything, maggots. But remember, Jesus said, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. And he used the word maggot. And Isaiah 14:11 says, where the maggot will be spread under thee, and the worm will cover thee. And then, you know, maggots feeding on you for all eternity. You know, Job 24:20 says, the maggot will feed sweetly on thee. I mean, is that disgusting enough? So all these things you have to endure, the darkness, the hunger. You don't get to eat. A drop of water would have been precious. I was so thirsty, Jim. You know, like Luke 16, the rich man wanted one drop. Well, if I was to give you one drop of water here in life, that wouldn't suffice. You wouldn't value that one drop. But in hell, you would. You'd do anything for one drop that you'll never get. And so these are just some of the things you have to endure in this place for all eternity.
When I read your book and I turned and looked at the walls of hell, when you got out of that cell, that you were out looking at the walls, the creatures that were on the walls, that were chained on the walls and in the walls. Would you tell us?
Right.
That? I could see that.
Yes, there were demons, just hundreds of them in this, like embedded in the wall. They seemed to, some of them be embedded, like protruding out of the wall, and others were chained to the wall. And I know the scripture talks about demons being chained in 2 Peter 2:4 and some other places, but that's what I saw in this one particular spot. And they're all grotesque. They're the most hideous-looking creatures. And they all seem to have a hatred for mankind. I felt this extreme hatred and a desire to want to torment people. So it's just an awful place to even see for 5 seconds.
You brought up another point, and you told me before there were separate pits, and I had a vision and I saw these pits too. So you say there were separate pits surrounding the big pit.
Right, right. I was standing next to this big pit that was about a mile across, and along the edges of that pit were individual pits with people individually in one pit, each one having one pit. But Psalms 94:13 talks about pits in hell. And there were flames would burst up and burn the flesh off the people, and they would scream in agony, and then it would seem as if the flesh seemed to come back on, and then it would burst again and burn the flesh off, and this is what was going on in these individual pits. The big pit had demons shoving people back in as they were trying to get out of this enormous pit with flames raging high up in this open cavern. And like I said, there's all different sizes and shapes of demons and snakes and maggots, every disgusting thing you would not want to see. And the sounds you have to endure, the stench, the smoke, and just everything that's in hell it's just a horrible place, to say the least.
The mental, the anguish, the loss, the fear, it is just as painful, I think, as all the things that you saw. You made a point, you'll never see your wife again. You didn't tell her goodbye. You'll never have a day when you get up for work or when you wait for the morning. Never, ever again.
Yeah. Right, and mankind, we all want to achieve and be successful and accomplish things. And hell's the antithesis. You don't. It's just a rotting away, a useless wasting away. And it doesn't matter if you're somebody famous here. No one would know who you are there. You have no identity. Ecclesiastes 6:4 says your name's covered in darkness. You're forgotten in hell. Psalms 88:12, Isaiah 26:14, Deuteronomy 32:26. Many verses talk about being forgotten. And you don't realize how tormenting that is, that no one up on the earth has given you a thought. You're just lost. You're down here in existing. See, death does not mean cease to exist. Death means separation from God. You still exist. You're just down deep in the earth, and no one up on the earth has given you a thought. Right? I mean, you don't think about people in hell, right?
Right.
I mean, no, people don't. And even if you go to a funeral today, no matter what religion, they will usually say, well, they've gone to a better place. Yet that's not the case for most. Jesus said in Matthew 7, many go to hell and few go to heaven. So it's the opposite of what the world thinks. You know, this subject stirs up a lot of questions because, you know, and I think maybe it might be good to cover some of these questions.
I have questions today. I think one of the first questions, are there others that have seen hell like you?
Yes, actually there is. There's actually many books written today, actually hundreds of books, of people that have had near-death experiences or clinical death experiences or visions or dreams. One of the most famous as far as vision is John Bunyan. He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, probably the most famous book written. And he wrote a book called Visions of Heaven and Hell, or God showed him heaven and hell in a vision. And he saw the same things I did and much more. There's also many books written, one by Dr. Maurice Rawlings. He was a cardiologist, atheist, and he interviewed over 3,000 people in his career that have had near-death experiences and wrote many books on it, one called The Hell and Back, one called Beyond Death's Door. And he found out that many of these people that were on their deathbed dying, they either saw heaven or hell, and they all said the same things about each. The people that were not Christians saw hell. And so he's documented 3,000 cases and has written about it, and he's just one. There's literally hundreds of books written about other people that have seen heaven and hell, like I said, in a vision, dream, or near-death experience. One of the people I read about, wrote about in one of my books was a doctor, famous doctor, who was Dr. Whitaker, and he was in the hospital dying of a disease. And he was an atheist. He was slipping out of his body, and he said he was absolutely terrified as he was traveling down this dark tunnel. And he knew if he slipped all the way out of his body, he would never get back. And so he was thinking, what is a Christian? How do I get saved? Well, the doctors resuscitated him, and he immediately called for one friend that he had that was a Christian to tell him, well, how do I get saved? I was heading towards hell. And he said, I was terrified. So he's just one of the many people that have given his testimony in books.
Okay, well, Bill, now why would God choose you?
You know, it's a good question, Jim. I'm the least likely. I was just a real estate broker going to work like the rest of us. I was not a Billy Graham. And so I have no idea. You know, it doesn't matter. He's given us all something to do. But I think, my opinion is, that God knew that I love the Word of God. I've studied it at that point for 28 years, 48 years now. And I would point people to the Word, not to my experience. I've never sought for one place to go. I only told one close friend this experience, and it spread from there. We began getting invited all over the country and then all over the world. So for the next 7 years, we traveled, we paid our own way, and we never took any money from anybody. We were asked to go, and we were asked by the publisher to write the book. So it's not something I wanted to self-promote, but I wanted to place, point people to the Scriptures. That's what's important for them to believe. So that's the only reason I could think God would have chosen me, because he knows I would appoint people to those verses.
Now, I've studied the Bible, and I see God as a God of love and care. I mean, come on now, Bill. Why would God make such a horrible place? What's going on here?
You know, that's a good question, Jim. But, you know, Jesus said why. In Matthew 25:41, he said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He never intended it for man. He was preparing it for the devil, the same as he goes to prepare a place for us in heaven, John 14:2. So he prepared the hell for the devil. But the reason hell is so terrible is because, see, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. So all the good we enjoy in life, the fresh air, sunshine, fellowship, sleeping, drinking, eating, all the good things come from God. It's not automatic. So what God did in the preparation, since he was preparing it for the devil, he withdrew his goodness or his attributes. See, hell's dark because 1 John 1:5 said God is light. There's only death in hell because John 1:4 said God is life. There's only hatred in hell because 1 John 4:16 said God is love. There's no mercy in hell because Psalms 36:5 says the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. There's no strength in hell because Psalms 18:32 said it's the Lord that gives us strength. There's no water in hell because Deuteronomy 11:11 says water is the rain of heaven. And there's no peace in hell because Isaiah 9:6 says he is the Prince of Peace. So you see, if God removes himself from the situation, all the good goes with him. You can't separate the two. You can't have the good without God. So if there's a person in life that says, you know, I don't want anything to do with God, well, fine, there's a place prepared that has nothing to do with him. See, that's why, so people don't understand that Psalms 33:5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We get to enjoy his goodness here while we're in life. But if we reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we will end up in a place where God has withdrawn his attributes. So that's why hell is so horrible, and it was never intended for man.
God never intended hell to be a place for men and women. Today we have Bill Weiss with us. Bill, with his wife Annette, share a ministry called Soul Choice Ministries, and you can find them on the net.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.